give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell all of thy wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High.
This is The Bible Says with Mike Hughes, author, speaker, and evangelist for the Spring Hill Church of Christ, Spring Hill, Louisiana.
Wonderful deeds, I will be glad and exalt in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High.
Make sure you download the note card for today's lesson by going to our website, michaelrhughes.com. Once you're there, click on Sermons, which you'll see right below the photo of the Bible. Next, scroll down until you see the list of lessons and choose this lesson. To the right of the lesson, click Listen. Finally, at the bottom of the audio player, click Details, and then click the lesson title beneath the player and download the note card. Now, let's join Mike with today's message.
We feel an enormous burden for the salvation of people. To us, it is unthinkable that other people should be eternally lost. It's especially unthinkable that any person we know and love, our child, our spouse, our friend, our neighbor, should be lost. Because of this enormous burden we feel, we often do two things that are spiritually disastrous to us. What are those two things? First, we assume upon ourselves Jesus' role in salvation matters. We decide who will be and who will not be saved. Secondly, we oversimplify response to God through Jesus Christ. We assume people believe in Jesus. We assume people repent. So saving others a lot of times just becomes a matter of convincing them to be baptized. And we feel like if we can convince a person to be immersed for the remission of sins, then in our thinking, salvation is a fact. We want to look at today our attempt for a faithless salvation. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, felt a burden for Jerusalem, an enormous salvation burden. As he taught in Jerusalem the last week of his earthly life, he made this statement, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing? See, your house is left desolate to you. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Jesus is the Christ. He is the Lord. The form of grief the Savior felt was his, not ours. What was to occur to Jerusalem was unnecessary because the people did not know who he was and trust him. Their primary failure was their failure to believe in him. So during Jesus' ministry, the Gospel of Matthew, and particularly Matthew chapter 13, records an occasion when Jesus taught some simple facts about God's kingdom by using a series of parables. Now, these series of parables consisted of parables about the kingdom, the sower, the mustard seed, the tares, the hidden treasure, the leaven, and the expensive pearl. all were making points about the kingdom. The point about God's kingdom that Jesus made were these. The response a person makes to Jesus depends on the person's heart. Inside the kingdom will be people who belong to Satan and people who belong to God. This is by Satan's planning and effort. God does not want anyone belonging to Him destroyed through uprooting those who do not belong to Him. Therefore, there will come a time chosen by God when God's angels will separate those who belong to God from those who belong to Satan. Those who belong to Satan inside the kingdom cause godly people to stumble while they refuse to place themselves under God's rule. God's kingdom will have a tiny beginning, but will grow into an incredible tree. That's the point. One of the points Jesus was making. God's kingdom grows through influence. One life will touch another. Some accidentally discover God's kingdom just like a person who discovers a hidden treasure. And then some discover God's kingdom because they search for it just like the person searching for an expensive pearl. So that's what we see with this. So by God's design, God's kingdom will attract all kinds of people. Some are devoted to God, some oppose God. And it's up to the angels who will separate the ungodly from the godly at the end of the time. That's not my job. That'll be the job of God's angels. So note this series of parables about God's kingdom. This series begins with the parable of the sower, and it ends with the parable of the dragnet. And it ends by emphasizing all kinds of people will be in the kingdom when time ends, and the angel's job is to separate the ungodly from the godly. So I want to look at these two parables in talking about our efforts toward a faithless salvation. First of all, notice the parable of the sower. The parable, or the story, is very simple. Was taken from an everyday scene of life in their planting season. A person sows a field with wheat or barley. The person sowed the only way they planted that kind of seed by broadcasting the seed. The difficulty of that method was the sower has little control over where the seed falls. And as the seed landed on four kinds of soil, the hard pathway that everyone packed down by walking, the rocky ground that had little soil, too many rocks, the thorny ground, nothing wrong with the soil, but was way too much competition from the thorn plants, and the good soil that produced a harvest. The soils are people's hearts. Some people are hard-hearted when it comes to Jesus. Some people are much too shallow to belong to Jesus. Some people have too many things in their lives that compete with Jesus, and the competition chokes Jesus out of their life. Some people want to belong to Jesus, want their existence to serve His purpose and bear spiritual fruit by producing the fruit of the Spirit. So I want to make two simple points from this parable. Point number one. There will never be a time when every person you know is good ground or is a person who wants to belong to Jesus. There will always be hard-hearted people. There will always be shallow-hearted people. There will always be people whose lives are too crowded with other things for Jesus to fit in. Jesus did not give us the responsibility to determine who these people are. Jesus gives us the responsibility to share Jesus and God's rule in their hearts of people with everyone. But I just plant, and you just plant. I do not determine the nature and quality of a person's heart. If people reject Jesus himself, by what arrogance do I decide that no one will reject me when I introduce that person to Jesus and God's rule in his own life? Because they reject Jesus. And then the second point that I want to notice with you. If all I accomplish is immersing a bad heart that intends to remain a bad heart, nothing has been accomplished. Now catch that. If I immerse a hard-hearted person who does not believe, that does not produce salvation. If I immerse a shallow-hearted person who, instead of believing, spiritually wilts and dies, that does not produce salvation. If I immerse a person whose life is so crowded that he or she has no place for Jesus in his or her life, that does not produce salvation. Our primary challenge, get this, our primary challenge is to encourage real faith, real trust in God's work in Jesus' death and resurrection. Baptism for the remission of sins means nothing without faith. So what's that talking about? That's talking about faith in God's work in Jesus can turn hard hearts into good hearts, shallow hearts into good hearts, thorny hearts into good hearts. But the person must soften the hard heart or dig out the rocks or pull out the thorns. For decades, we have been focused on baptism with little attention to encouraging faith. And a result of that becomes far too many people who have been immersed for forgiveness of sin who have little or no faith in Jesus Christ. We made church membership more important than trusting God. In the New Testament, people who trusted what God did in Jesus' death and resurrection were baptized. It began by emphasizing a person's heart determines the response a person gives. It ends by emphasizing all kinds of people will be in the kingdom when time ends, and the angel's job to separate the ungodly from the godly. Now, I want to notice a parable that's probably less familiar to us, and that's the parable of the dragnet. It too was a simple parable story taken from their everyday existence. Food was often scarce. Starvation was a real problem. One source of food was fish. One means of catching fish was the use of a dragnet. And the problem with the dragnet was that it caught everything. Fish that were edible, fish the Jews were forbidden to eat, and the procedure was fairly simple. You use the dragnet, catch everything you could. When you pull the net to the bank, separate everything out of the net, place what was edible in containers, throw away what was not edible. And Jesus said, notice this, that in God's kingdom, there would be all kinds of people caught. Some truly devoted to God's purpose and some who opposed God's purposes. But Jesus did not place us in charge of determining what kind of person each person was, nor did Jesus place us in charge of the separation. At the time, God will be in charge of the separation, and He will send His angels to take care of that task. That's what He'll do. And that's what we see here. So, thinking about that a little bit, some simple conclusions that we want to notice. Saving people is basically about challenging people to change their hearts by placing their trust in what God did for them in Jesus Christ. Now, using the parable of the sower, my primary responsibility is plow the hard ground or dig out the rocks, pull out the thorns in my own heart. My secondary responsibility is to encourage others as they work on softening their hearts, digging out their rocks, pulling out their thorns. The greatest encouragement I can give them as I encourage them toward faith in God's work in Jesus is to let them see in the genuineness of my faith the desirability of being a good-hearted person who belongs to Jesus. Will that convince everyone? No. Everyone who does not wish to belong to Jesus will not be convinced. So, if I want to be God's kingdom, or if we want to be God's kingdom, we must be committed to living in faith and calling others to faith. We must understand that immersing people for the forgiveness of sin when they do not believe is meaningless. Purifying God's kingdom by placing ourselves in charge of separating people in the dragnet is God's business, not ours. It is God's business because we know what is in a person's heart. That's why it's God's business. Only if that person chooses to reveal something to us do we do anything. To all of us, that should be wonderful news. God knows which direction my heart is moving even when people cannot. Plowing hard ground and making it soft is hard work and takes time. Digging out rocks is hard work. Takes time. Pulling thorns is hard work. Takes time. God knows if I'm involved in that process when people do not. Because God knows God is qualified to use His angels to separate. So that leaves us with this. My challenge is simple. Do not entrust your salvation to the fact of baptism or church membership. Every day of your life, work on your heart. Have the faith that lets God rule you. Let your immersion stand on that faith. Let your faith rule your heart. Never forget that God knows what is happening in your heart. And that's what we have to keep in mind as our responsibility. So with that in mind, God teaches us about salvation. God has done His part. He has shown His great love for mankind. He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3:16. He gave His Son as Savior. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, Luke 19, verse 10. And we see that He sent the Holy Spirit as guide, the Holy Spirit of truth. When He comes, He will guide you into all truth, the apostles were told. He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He gave the gospel as the power of God to salvation, Romans chapter 1 and verse 6. And He's provided atonement. by the blood of Christ. It's always taken blood for atonement. He said, since Romans 5, verse 9, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. That's God's part. God has done his part. Now, man's part. We have a part. Notice, we have to hear the gospel. Faith that is produced comes from hearing the word of God, Romans 10, 17. We must believe the truth. We must believe the gospel. John 8, verse 32, you will know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth will set you free. We can know the truth, and it'll set us free. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for whoever comes to God must believe that he is. He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jesus told them, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's where life is in the name of Jesus, having faith in and trusting Jesus. And in Luke 13, 3, I tell you, no, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. We talked about that passage last week. That it's more important to repent and being ready for eternity than it is to worry about suffering. Acts 17, verse 30, the time of this ignorance, God overlooked now commands all men everywhere to repent. Then we're to confess our faith. We're to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Romans 10, 10. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But notice, one believes with the heart. Jesus said, everyone who confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. And then be baptized for the remission of our sins. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, have put on Christ. Everyone who acknowledges me, we say, Jesus said. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness or the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we're to remain faithful. Revelation 2:10. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing this, that your labor is not in vain. In the day.
This has been The Bible Says with author, speaker, and evangelist Mike Hughes for the Spring Hill Church of Christ, meeting at 405 Butler Street in Spring Hill, Louisiana.
You wash your sins away, then walk in his light upon your heavenly way.
We offer numerous resources on our website at michaelrhughes.com. M-I-K-E-A-L. MichaelRHughes.com. There you'll find tracts, workbooks, and past sermons to help you in your spiritual growth in Christ. If you're in the Spring Hill area, we invite you to our service on Sunday at 9:45 for Bible class, 10:35 for morning worship, and again at 6 p.m. for evening worship. Wednesday, we meet at 6:30 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. We invite you to subscribe to our email list to be notified of new material added to our website by writing to macmichael@me.com.